what will happen to let us know that you're coming soon. And we covered earthquakes, famines, pestilences, fearful sights, great signs from heaven. Then the last question, and said, what shall be the sign of the end of this age? In other words, the things that would be occurring right at the very end of the tribulation period, just before we phased into the millennial reign. Now, all of us have something in common here. We were all born physically. And we've lived on this planet for some time. We had a father. We had a mother. Each one of us has had a life of our own. We've lived in certain places. Some of us have married. Some of us are divorced. Some of us are remarried. Some of us have children. Some of us don't. But we've lived on this planet. This is all we know. This is the only life we've ever known. The Lord told Nicodemus, he said, if I have told you of earthly things and you do not understand, how can I tell you of heavenly things and expect you to understand? That's why he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Since this is the only life we've ever known, we're very familiar with it. We know how money exchanges. We know how to buy things. We know how to work. We know how to get along with people. We've learned how to read each other. We've learned a multiplicity of things. This is the only life we know. Each one of us has had your own separate life with your parents. Many of your parents have departed. Some of you have lost husbands, wives. But this is your life, and it's all you know. It's very, very hard to envision you in a glorified body living on this earth and a whole new life. It's difficult to envision at best, because this is the only life you've ever known. And we have to think in terms of what we know and understand. But once we're born again, God can give us an insight into what life's going to be like. And I think that it's that desire to know what it's going to be like that keeps on feeding our soul and keeps on giving us an incentive to be faithful while we're still alive in this body of this life. Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We're going to be on this earth for 1,000 years. What you do now is important to you. Where you live and how you function, the profession you have, the friends that you have, your whole life here is important to you. This millennial reign ought to be important to us also, because we're going to be very much alive in glorified bodies. And certainly God has given marvelous promises to us as an incentive to prepare for that life after we're saved. You cannot prepare for the millennial reign of Christ and your new life and your new existence until you're born again. After you're born again, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. You have the capacity, the ability, the capability by response to Christ, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, to prepare yourself for what's coming for 1,000 years. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 9, you've heard me preach and teach this many times. But as it is written, now these are not talking about spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, or spiritual hearts. This is talking about a carnal eye, a carnal ear, and a carnal heart. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked until it's born again. Once it's born again, a new spirit comes into the heart of man. The heart of man, after a man is saved, is made up of a soul and a spirit. The spirit is perfect. The soul is saved. And the soul is being transformed and changed. It's already been saved. But there's a transformation in the way that the soul thinks and feels and acts toward God, toward his fellow man, and toward himself. Once he's born again, he can begin to understand the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Without the new birth, none of these things can ever be real to a person that does not know Jesus Christ. They're just sort of a fairy tale. Something like, I know, one day I'll be there. I know, he's in a better place. She's in a better place. And all that's true. But what kind of a better place are we going to be in? And what is that better place like? If you're born again, and you're willing to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, God has an awful lot to say about these things. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us, not carnal man, but Paul says us, he himself, the members of the church at Corinth, and those that were traveling with Paul. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You have to be born again. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You've seen me use this many times. This scripture has more ramifications than a cat has lives, because that's what it's all about, being born of the Spirit. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. It was the Spirit that gave you the new birth. The flesh profiteth nothing, because the flesh, a carnal eye, a carnal ear, a carnal heart, can't understand anything. So the flesh doesn't profit you anything, because what you believe is based on spiritual understanding after you're saved. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now we're about to enter into what is known as phase 3, the millennial reign. And most people have no more interest in this after they're saved than Moody's goose. But you're going to be on this earth in a glorified body. You're going to get to see things in Israel that you have never seen before in your life. Israel is going to get to see a desert that is barren and wasteful turned into a paradise. And we're going to be here in glorified bodies, having returned with Christ, and we're going to get to see it. Isaiah 41:18. This is what we're talking about now, phase 3, and we have now moved through the tribulation period. We're in the first phases of the millennial reign, and we're going to be talking about some things that we'll get to see while we're on this earth. Isaiah 41:18. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. He's talking about the wildernesses of Judea, the wildernesses of Samaria, the wildernesses of Galilee, and the wildernesses of the Negev. He said, I will plant the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. He's going to turn a barren waste into a tremendous, unbelievable arena of growth. Here's why he's going to do it. Now, a lot of people aren't interested in anything except salvation. And a lot of churches aren't interested in anything except getting people saved. But people are supposed to be born again so they can understand the things that God has waiting for them, because that's what makes them want to transform into what God wants them to be after they're saved. Verse 20, that they may see and know and consider and understand together. You can't understand this unless you've been born again. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. So all of us that are saved are going to be in this millennial reign. To most people, after they're saved, it's not real. We're going to move into what is known as phase 3. We're going to talk about the millennial reign. We finished phase 1 and phase 2. For those that are listening on tapes, I'm going to read what this phase 3 is about. Then I'm going to read the scriptures we're going to cover in the next several weeks. God's Spirit regathers all surviving Israelites from across the earth, and the millennial temple is built on the old temple mount. Jesus then enters the new temple from the east as the glory of God. Now, for those of you here who are saved, you're going to get to watch this. How close up will you be when you watch this? Well, all the saved are going to be on this earth in the millennial reign, but we're not all going to dwell in the same place. Some of us are going to be scattered all over the earth. Some of us are going to live in Jerusalem. I want to live in Jerusalem. I want to be where the Lord is. And that's what this is all about. Here are the scriptures. Zechariah 8, 3 through 8, Isaiah 43, 1, 5, and 6, Isaiah 11, 15, and 16, Isaiah 27, 12, and 13, Jeremiah 31, 7 through 14, Isaiah 19, 22 through 23, Isaiah 11, 9 through 11, Zechariah 2, 4 through 11, Isaiah 49, 22 and 23, Isaiah 66, 18 through 20. Isaiah 54, 6 through 8. Romans 11, 25 through 27. Revelation 7, 2 through 4. Romans 2, 28, 29. Isaiah 16, 4 and 5. Isaiah 4, 4 and 5. Isaiah 33, 20. Zechariah 6, 12 and 13. Isaiah 2, 1 through 4. Joel 3, 16 through 18. Haggai 2, 6 through 9. Ezekiel 37, 26 through 28. Ezekiel 41 and 1, Ezekiel 42 and 8, Ezekiel 47, 1, Ezekiel 43, 1 through 5, Revelation 2, 26 through 29, Revelation 20, 5 and 6, and Revelation 22 and 12. So we're going to be taking a look at those things that I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And we're going to examine these things, because I think you can know these things. Pictorially, this is what we're talking about. We've already gone through the tribulation period in this series known as the Three Questions. We're now entering into the millennial reign. You'll be on this earth in a glorified body if you know Christ as your Savior. You'll get to see Israel resettle in the land. You'll get to see them come out of the Negev, come back and take the city of Jerusalem, and go all the way across to the Euphrates River, as far north as Hamath. You'll see the granting of the Abrahamic land grant. You'll get to see Israel ruling and reigning here, and you'll be here in glorified bodies. I don't think the people that are here in bodies of flesh, Israelites, and the one-sixth of the Antichrist army that survives, I don't think that they will see us in glorified bodies. In this room right now, there are angels. They're all over the place. I can't see them, but the Bible clearly indicates that they're there. There are angels of God who chose not to follow Lucifer, but to remain with God. Then there are the angels that chose to follow Lucifer. I believe there are some from each realm that chose to follow Lucifer. But regardless of which one followed, there are in this room angels which are the representatives of Satan and angels which are the representatives of God. They continually vie for our hearts and our lives. They affect us every day. The angels of Lucifer do everything they can to keep you from being saved that is allowed by God in what is known, I would say, as a fair fight. But after you're saved, those angels cannot stop you from being saved. You're already saved. They cannot unsave you, if you will. But they can keep you from giving glory to God. They will do everything that is possible, that is allowable, within the realm of God's just, fair system to keep you out of church. They'll do everything they can. They'll create a home situation that makes it very difficult for you to come to church. They'll create a job situation that makes it very difficult for you to worship God. They'll test you and try you to the nth degree. And the remarkable thing is, God allows this to happen. God tempts no man. But God does allow these angels to put you to the test. And believe me, they are clever at what they do. They will do everything under the sun. And you're not immune from this. Every single one of you sitting here are directly affected by demonic influence, which they are fallen angels, every day of your life. God will do everything he can to turn you against someone in the church, to make you think ill of another person, to give you some valid reason for not coming to church, to give you something that's more important in your life than worshiping God correctly. Because God wants glory out of your life, and after you're saved, you have to give it to him in his church. And so those devils will do anything they can, these fallen angels, to influence you not to be faithful in God's church. They'll try to get you to join a church that isn't doing what God told it to do. They'll do everything they can to keep you away from a church that is preaching and teaching the truth, because that gives glory to God and nothing else. Now, this millennial reign is going to have a temple built. It's going to be a magnificent temple. This is what it'll look like. You say, Brother McElmurray, you don't know that. Yes, I do. Because this thing you see on the left are the most explicit set of blueprint narratives ever given verbally in all of history. God gave the instructions on how to build this temple in Ezekiel chapters 40 to 43. They are more explicit than those he gave to build the tabernacle or tent in the wilderness. If you take those exactly as they are given, you can build this temple you see on the right. It will look just like this. There will be a stream that goes out of it. It goes through where the Mount of Olives split. 4,000 cubits or 6,000 feet. I'm going to get to see that temple. I'm going to get to see Jesus make his triumphant entry. I'm saved. I want to dwell here. I want to be here in this complex when Jesus comes. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, why do you want that? Because I believe this. You see, the depth of your belief determines your faithfulness. It's directly proportional to your faithfulness. If you really truly believe the Word of God, if it settles and sinks in your heart and becomes real to you, you'll die for it. You'll believe it, and you'll let God's Spirit direct your life the way he wants it to go. I believe all this. That's what's kept me in the ministry. That's what God has used to stimulate me, to motivate me, to exhort me, to encourage me. I believe this. After the millennial reign, this earth on which we live is going to be completely disintegrated, destroyed, melted to nothing, forever, done away with. It's going to be replaced with a heaven age which goes on forever. Now, many people believe that this new earth, which follows the millennial reign, and this new city, which follows after it, are made of things like this, made of the elements on a periodic chemistry chart, something you can taste, touch, see, and feel. I don't. I believe whatever this is made of, it's made of the same thing that the angels are made of, and the same things that glorified bodies are made of, and I believe it's a spiritual city and a spiritual earth. I don't believe this will have any of the physical elements, iron, zinc, potassium, iodine. I don't think it'll have any of the elements on the periodic chemistry chart. I think it's a whole new thing. Now, in the millennial reign, you will have sin. Back in the millennial reign, right after the tribulation period, the people that are here in bodies of flesh on this earth will commit sin. If they will believe that the one who comes in Ezekiel 43, after the temple is completed and makes his triumphant entry, if they will believe that Jesus is living in that temple, they can be saved by faith just exactly like you and I were. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If they will believe he has returned, he is the one who died for their sins on the cross, has now returned and reigning in Jerusalem, they can be saved by grace through faith. I don't believe God will ever change that form of his salvation plan. It's always been by grace through faith in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But now after this period of time, now we won't be in sinful bodies. We'll be in glorified bodies. We won't be capable of sin. And we'll be living on this earth in the millennial reign working for Christ. But once the final millennial reign has passed and we enter into the heaven age, there'll be no sin here. There'll be no sin in this heavenly city. There'll be no sin outside the heavenly city. We'll be in glorified bodies not made of things on a periodic chemistry chart. And all those things that have been made of periodic chemistry chart materials, and all those souls that were spiritual that would not trust in Christ, they're all cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And we're forever separated from tears, from anxiety, from worries, from concerns. And we either live outside the city or we live in the city. I want to live in the city. Why? Because I believe what the Bible says. And because it's worth living for and dying for. God gets glory out of your belief. And the stronger your belief, the greater your faith. Faith and belief are interchangeable. They are the same thing. The greater depth of faith, belief you have, determines your church attendance. I could show you a lot of different ways that people can get somebody into a church. I'm not unfamiliar with them. I had to take all that stuff in the Dale Carnegie charm course that they gave us in the military, in the Orlando Military Academy. We had to take Dale Carnegie's course. I know how to motivate people. I know how to get on their good side. I know how to pump them up to make them feel good about themselves. And we could fill this building up if I went that route. Because I know the techniques and I know how to do it. But that's not spiritual. That's physical. There are certain things that God promised us. And this is a promise. If you believe it, and you believe that your conduct and your life here as a child of God after you're saved determines where you live, you're going to be faithful in God's church. I couldn't run you out. But if you don't believe this, you'll find some reason for eventually stopping church, and you'll always be looking for something in a church that will help you here, that will relieve all the anxiety and pain that you feel. So we're talking about a millennial reign, followed by a renovation of the earth burning, followed by the new earth, the new heaven, the new earth. But right now, we're going to talk strictly about the millennial reign. Now, when we get into this millennial reign, we'll be dealing with a gathering of God's people from all over the earth. But we'll be dealing primarily with a regathering of God's people from two areas. One, Africa. All of Africa. A regathering from the two largest continents on this earth. Two of the largest. Europe and Eurasia, and Asia are all connected. So I'll just call it the Eurasian continent. People will be regathered from the Eurasian continent. They will be gathered from the African continent. Those in Asia and Eurasia will have to come across this river. This is the Euphrates River. It flows right down through here, goes all the way down through Iraq, comes all the way out into the Persian Gulf. In biblical times, anyone that lived on the other side of this river, they were known as the kings of the east. So anyone that lived to the east of the Euphrates, they were known as the kings of the east. In order to come across to worship at Jerusalem in the millennial reign, if the Euphrates River were to remain here, they would have to cross it. That's why God's going to draw it up, dry it up right here, and I've shown you that many times. Right now, the Suez Canal has made a continual course of water that goes from the Mediterranean all the way down to the Red Sea. You have water to cross all the way from the Red Sea all the way into the Mediterranean. When God rips open this piece of land through the Jordan Valley, this Sinai plate will push up against the African plate. It has to as this rips apart. It will form a dry land bridge to where people will be able to come across on dry land without crossing any body of water. You're going to see that very frequently in these scriptures as I go through them, so I thought I would mention it. Now, this is my future. I'm not an Israelite. I won't be here in a body of flesh. But I will get to see all this happen. Phase 3. God's Spirit regathers all surviving Israelites from across the earth, and the millennial temple is built on the old temple mount. Jesus then enters the new temple from the east as the glory of God. That's what we're going to be covering for the next several Sundays, Lord willing, in Phase 3. First of all, this is a promise concerning what I just said in Zechariah 8, 3 through 8. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Zion. That's God's name for the holy city, particularly the holy mount of that general area. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall be marvelous in the days of the remnant of this people in these days. Should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I will save my people from the east country, kings of the east, and from the west country, the African continent. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to begin right there, Lord willing, next Sunday. Because I heard the bell in the back. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible indicates we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. Now, you're going to get to see Jesus face to face. Face to face. I can only give you this advice as a sinful human being. You had better wake up and realize that after you're saved, your conduct and your lifestyle has nothing to do with maintaining your salvation. But it has everything to do with how close in proximity you're going to be to Jesus Christ in the millennial reign. This is a large earth, and God's people and glorified bodies are going to be all over this earth. At the same time, there will be people who will be living in bodies of flesh. 1/6 of the Antichrist army will survive. It will go home to its home country. There will be children that will survive through the tribulation period. The millennial reign is going to be the greatest time of rebuilding the world has ever seen. You're going to be in a spiritual body, knowing Christ as your Savior. The degree to which you serve him in his local church after you're saved is going to determine what reward you receive in heaven. It won't be butter pecan ice cream. It won't be a Cadillac. It won't be a two-story house with a basement. It will be something that involves your serving him and the degree to which you're allowed to serve him and the authority which he gives you in that millennial reign to be a servant of his. Because every time you serve Christ in the millennial reign, you won't have a sinful nature anymore. You'll get tremendous ecstatic pleasure out of serving someone who loves you and died for you. So all I can do is encourage you to be faithful in church. It's not because I want your money or because the church wants your money. It's because God wants your heart. And after he gives you a new heart, he asks you to use that heart to serve him. So think about that, and we'll take a short break, and then we'll come back.